Welcome to another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. Today I'm delighted to be talking with Dana Steele, author of the new book, Rock to the Top, What I Learned About Success from the World's Greatest Rock Stars. For almost two decades, Dana Steele was one of the top radio personalities in the United States. After leaving radio, Dana became a successful businesswoman. She created the Space Store, the world's largest space-related e-commerce venture, and Steele Media Services, a media consulting and marketing firm. Welcome, Dana.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Dana, I love your new book. I wonder if you could tell our listeners about Rock to the Top and what it's about.
You know what? It's a business book based on what I learned and observed and watched. And that is, I spent 20 years in rock radio, and I was around some of the world's greatest rock stars. And I was also around a lot of musicians who, you know, one-hit wonders kind of petered out. You never heard from them again. And you know what I observed is that everybody wanted to be a rock star, but not everybody had the desire to do the work that it took, that they had the discipline. And it really is, the book came from several different areas, but one of them was somebody said to me once, I wish I was famous so I didn't have to work for a living. And I started explaining to people, you know, Mick Jagger, Sammy Hagar, Gene Simmons, all these bands that are at the top and have been at the top and continue to stay at the top, Jon Bon Jovi, these are business people. They work extremely hard, and I watch them all apply the same principles day in, day out.
So you decided to take these universal principles and put them in a book.
Well, I put them in a book, and I use my stories and my examples and my pictures and the anecdotes. And, you know, I have three kids. I have three sons who are 9, almost 13, and 20.
Wow.
And I'm not cool at all in their eyes. So I thought, you know, I need to get all this down in a book. You know, and it's not all the stories. Let's face it, it was the 80s. Some of them I can't remember. Some of them I'll never tell. But I always approached rock radio as a business, which made me kind of an oddball with the other DJs I worked with. They kind of made fun of me sometimes. But I knew it was a business. I knew it was short-lived for a woman. Radio can be a short-lived career for anyone, but especially for a woman. So if I was going to get to the top, I was going to have to do it. I was going to have to work hard. I was going to have to do it fast. And I was going to have to learn as much as I could along the way and meet as many people as I could so that I could parlay that into something else, which I did, into several successful businesses.
Cool.
And once I sat down and started, and people just kept saying, you really should write a book, because I would go do these speeches and I would speak to all these business groups and conventions, and I'd tell the stories and make the points. And, you know, after a while, when people keep saying, you should write a book, you just, your first thought is, how hard could it be?
Well, you know, the music industry clearly taught you so much about life and business. So I'm wondering if you learned some lessons from the music industry and rock and roll for writing a book.
Okay, say that again. I'm sorry. I didn't quite understand the catch.
Well, you know, clearly, you know, your inspiration for business is rock and roll and the music industry. How did that inspire you in your writing and getting the book done?
You know what? I've always loved business. You know, when everybody else's Barbie was chasing Ken, my Barbie was playing Office. And I was so excited when my dad would bring home office supplies. So
yeah.
Somewhere in my DNA, there's a business gene in there somewhere. And I was fascinated with the way it was all run and the way it was put together and the kind of money. I mean, just watching. For example, my mentor managed Sammy Hagar and went on to manage Van Halen. And so, you know, I'd get bored on the weekends. I'd go hang out on the road with them. But I was privy to, you know, I wasn't one of the groupies. I wasn't hanging out backstage. I was with the band's manager. So I was seeing all of the, you know, the ins and outs of the business. And it was just amazing to watch how this all came together.
Wow. Well, you talk in the book about how passion changes throughout life. So what have been the keys for you that your passion is changing? What are the signs?
I start to get bored. I guess it's not, we can say bitchy on the radio these days. We couldn't say that in 80. I do. I start to get antsy and bored, and I'm not feeling creative, and I get up most mornings at 4:30 or 5. Even though the alarm's set, I still wake up sometimes before the alarm goes off because I cannot wait for what the day is going to bring. You know, I love what I do, but there have been times when I start to get kind of, you know, I am just not looking forward to the day. And when that continues week after week, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month, you're going to have days like that, even with something you love. I mean, I'm sure Lynyrd Skynyrd thinks if I have to go on, you know, the band thinks if I have to go on stage and play Freebird again, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
So you're going to have the bad days occasionally, but when it goes on and on and on, and one of the things I did when I was running the space store, I was making six figures and was free to come and go as I pleased, and I had sold the company and was running it for an aerospace firm. I was around astronauts. I was going to space shuttle launches. But after a while, I just got where I was miserable. So I started keeping a diary, just a handwritten every morning or every night, every morning when I get out of bed or every night when I go to bed. Usually it's every night. I would think back on that day, and I would literally write just a few sentences of where I was happiest that day. Now, not giddy happy, but you know, content and comfortable and in my element and feeling creative and feeling good about myself. And I would write that down. And then after about 4 or 5 weeks, I went back and read. And what I discovered was I was happy as freelancing, working at home, being in a position to pick up my kids, drop my kids off, and maybe go to field trips. And that was when I went to my husband and said, honey, I want to quit the six-figure job and come home, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Fortunately, I'm married to the greatest guy in the world, and he was like, okay, great.
That's great.
Oh, good. We're changing careers again. Fabulous. But, you know, there were a couple of rough months there, but I parlayed it into something else. Then next thing you know, I'm writing a book. It changes. You've got to find where you're comfortable and you're happy with what you're doing. You can't do it for the money. You got to do it because it's something you truly love.
That's great advice. I loved what you had to say in the book about branding. And I'm wondering if you have any advice for writers who are looking to brand themselves.
Well, you know, first of all, you've got to be able to say what it is you do in one sentence. How many times have you sat down next to somebody on a plane and you say, so what do you do? And, you know, 30 minutes later, you're still getting a dissertation.
Yeah.
You know, be able to say what you do in one compelling sentence. And if somebody wants to know more, they will ask. And if you can say it in a compelling sentence, chances are that they will ask. And just make sure you're, you know, do you have a business card? Do you have... You know, if you're an author, do you have your book on your business card? Do you have your book on your website? Is everything very consistent? Do you have Facebook? Are you on Twitter? Are you on LinkedIn? Are you utilizing all these social media tools? Are you using the same identity? If you've got one identity on Twitter and one identity on Facebook and one identity on LinkedIn, you need to stop that.
Oh, you mean different identities on each one?
Yeah, I mean, if you got different login names or whatever, I'm Dana Steele, all one word, on all these things, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on YouTube, on Twitter. You can find me that way. That is my brand, Dana Steele.
Oh, that makes great sense.
Just consistent with it. You know, and then I could follow up my brand with, I'm the author of Rock to the Top. I'm a motivational speaker whose presentation is titled Find Your Inner Rockstar. I am an entrepreneur who acts as a media consultant to companies around the country.
Yeah.
My brand is Dana Steele. I am Dana Steele. My website is danasteele.com. You know, I don't have different websites for my book. If you want to find the book, you go to danasteele.com.
Yeah. That's great. Well, you know, going along those lines, because you have this background in media consulting, what kind of advice on marketing would you give to first-time authors?
Well, first of all, you do need to utilize the social marketing tools. You'd be amazed. If you're not doing it, you have to do it. Now, those are pretty much the two biggest ones right now that you just have to be on are, well, the first one is Facebook. You have to be on Facebook. You have to have a page on Facebook. You need a blog. WordPress is, you know, Facebook is free. Get a page set up on Facebook. Set up a blog. You're a writer, for God's sakes. Write about stuff. You don't have to write that much, but you can write. It helps brand your identity and who you are and what you like. And you can go to WordPress.com. I like them. I think they have some of the best tools. And you can create some amazingly professional-looking blogs. Right now, I blog for Fast Company magazine, but I am getting ready. I'm in the midst of setting up a personal blog because I would rather just blog for myself. If you're not following people on Twitter, that's another great one to get your brand out there and let people know what you're doing. Also, you know what? You can Google yourself. Google your genre. Say, for example, well, my husband's written a couple of sci-fi novels that we haven't done anything with yet. And we'll start doing something with those this summer. What I will do is Google sci-fi novels, sci-fi bloggers. And once we have his website and his Facebook and his Twitter and everything all set up, I will start going to these sci-fi bloggers and say, may I send you an excerpt? Would you like to download the book? Would you like to read a chapter? Anything I can think of, I will start contacting these people. You can hire a publicist and spend a fortune, and there are some good ones, and there's a lot of bad ones out there. But you've got the Internet right there at your fingertips, and you can find people. But make sure it's relevant. Make sure you're finding bloggers that are writing about whatever it is you do, a romance novel, a business book.
That's great.
And there's also Blog Talk Radio has about a bazillion different Internet radio stations. And I don't know if 2 people are listening or, 2 million people are listening. But it doesn't matter. I'm promoting my book.
Yeah.
And I do every single one that asks me. And you can go on to blogtalkradio.com and type in your genre, and all the different shows will come up. And there's a great book out by a former television reporter in Dallas. I would prefer you buy my book, but if you want to go buy Jeff's book too, that's great. It's called Free Publicity. I think it's only about 72 pages long. It's a little inexpensive $10 paperback. But he is great about, some of his methods are sort of antiquated now, press releases, that sort of thing. But I love what he says, and that is, there are so many TV stations. There are so many radio stations. There are so many newspapers. There are so many magazines. Now we have Internet radio and blogs, and there is a lot of space to fill. And it might as well be with something about you, but they can't read minds. You have to tell them, hello, here I am. I would love to be on your show. I'd love to be, in your magazine. What's another little trick? When I read things in the newspaper, especially in the business section, that I feel like, they could have gotten a quote from me.
Yeah.
I don't write them and say, hey, you could have gotten a quote from me. I write them and say, I really enjoyed your article that you wrote today on CityCorps. I really agree with you on that. If you ever need another source for a quote, here's my contact information. Thank you.
That is wonderful. Yeah.
And keep it brief. Keep it brief. Nobody needs a dissertation. We don't have time to read.
Yeah.
Keep that brief.
Well, one of the stories you tell in your book that just really influenced me a lot was the story about your year in Los Angeles and what you learned from it and how you characterize it differently from your friends. And maybe you could just give a little snippet of that for our listeners.
I always wanted to know what it was like to act for a living. And so, once again, the passion was starting to wane and it was time to try something new and, sold my house, quit my $150,000 radio job, another crazy move, which I, by the way, highly recommend crazy moves. They've all been kind of a ballsy thing to do, but sometimes that's what you got to do to get out there and try new things. I moved to L.A., lived on credit cards for 9 months, realized I couldn't act my way out of a box, and came back home, but I've never looked at it as a failure. People say, oh, that's right, you moved to L.A. And you know, failed or did really bad. It's like, no, I learned I couldn't. You know, nothing is a failure if you learn from it. Thomas Edison once said, I've never failed at anything. I've only found 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. So nothing is a failure as long as you learn from it. And that's what I did. I went out there and I learned, and it gave me more experiences. And let's face it, as writers, the more experiences we have, the more we have to draw from.
Yeah. Well, that is just so helpful, I think, for all writers, because I think if they try something and it doesn't work, I just say, try something else.
Yeah.
It's not a failure. It's a learning experience.
One of my favorite books, one of my record people gave it to me years ago, and I talk about it in my speech when I talk about passion, that passion's going to get you, you know, it's going to get you through, you know, just the tedious tasks, the rough days. And there's a book called There Must Be a Pony. And it's the wonderful fable of the two brothers who, I'll give you the short version, they go to the barn. The barn is filled to the top. They open the barn doors. The barn is filled to the top with poo. The first brother says, well, there's nothing but poo in there. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. there's nothing but poo in there, and walks off. And the other brother grabs a shovel and says, there must be a pony.
Wow.
I love that book because I'll just keep digging through poo because I'm just, you know, some people would call it rose-colored glasses. I call it determination. I'm just going to keep digging through the poo till I find the pony.
That's great. Well, Dana, do you have a final tip you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, it used to be do it because you love it, and I've already said that earlier, but I guess you can never say that too much. I had a gentleman come up to me after a speech once. I was speaking to a group of clients and senior management with a large banking concern, and I had somebody come up to me and he had tears in his eyes. He was a senior VP of a bank, and he looked at me, and he made sure nobody was listening, and he leaned over, and he said, I loved everything you had to say about passion. All I really want to do is sing. And I was like, well, do you sing in the church? Do you want to sing in a band? Where do you want to sing? He's like, I don't care. I just want to sing. I said, well, does your wife know this? He's like, no, I mean, we know we have the big house, we have the big cars, we have the big important jobs, we have the private schools. It's like, you know, don't put yourself into a rut. First of all, let the people around you that you love know what it is you really want to do. And I think for the most part, if you told them, they'll support you.
Wow, that's a great story. Dana, thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. Lots of information on my website. It's danasteele.com, DanaSteele. There's the brand.
Thank you so much. This has been another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. You can find a link to Dana's website and her book at my website, rightnowcoach.com. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always write.